The Golden State Warriors lost game three, plain and simple. They lost a game that they could have and they should have won. I'm going to break down why that is. I'm going to break down why Steve Kerr is going to deserve the brunt of the blame for this game three loss. And again, this is just an immediate reactionary show. On tomorrow's Locked On Warriors, Brian Witt's going to join me for a much more in-depth breakdown, providing analysis, much more detail. But there were some very obvious mistakes that were made in this game tonight, a game that, again, I really think was winnable for the Warriors, especially when you consider they took a lead late in the third quarter. When you're leading that late in game three of the NBA Finals, you got to seal the deal. And for the Golden State Warriors, that did not happen. We're going to break down why. I'm going to answer questions. I'm going to answer comments. Bring it to me, folks, please. I know people are going to be frustrated. I'm frustrated. I'm feeling horrible. We're going to get into all of this next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. I am Cyrus Sautz. You can follow me on Twitter at DocSurFrocho. You can follow the program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Folks, first of all, I did not have a show today. I apologize for that. My battle with company video took a turn a couple days ago, and I'm just, my energy is sapped. My lungs are worked. I can't even see well. Like, my vision is blurred. I can't focus. This is weird. But at the same time, look, if the Golden State Warriors are going to be mired in a battle in Massachusetts, I can suck it up and at least do a show here. I love this team. I'm passionate about the NBA and basketball. I love this job. I do. I mean, this is just one of many jobs I do, but I really love this. I love hosting these shows. I love engaging with people and talking about the Warriors and talking about basketball. And, you know, when your team gets this far in the postseason, it's a ride. It's a thrill of a ride. So despite my physical ailments at the moment, I'm mustering it up and doing the best I can. This is not going to be my A game, but you know, we're going to hopefully try to maintain objectivity here as much as possible for today's show, and try to at least just lay down, you know, the facts in terms of why the Warriors lost this game, because I really think you can break this down objectively. And I'm going to, of course, address as many comments and questions as possible. Darren Lays, for example, writes, seemed like the Celtics just wanted him more. I agree. And the evidence for that comes down to the loose ball battles. I'm going to try to find that stat for tomorrow's show. But I do feel like the Celtics won the battle of loose balls, which indicates just more effort. So it's hard to argue with that. You're absolutely right. The Warriors did not come into this game with the energy needed to win a pivotal game three against a very worthy adversary. Lucas D. Almeida writes, Green was disappointing tonight. Could not agree with you more. His numbers, I'll get right into it. Draymond Green had a horrible game three. In 34 minutes and 47 seconds of play, he finished with 2 points. His one basket was that dunk. He put up 2 3-point attempts, I think one more than he should have after the first miss, which is an awkward setup play. I don't know if that was the first or second one where he had that corner three, but there was literally, I believe, a scripted play for Draymond Green to shoot a three out of a timeout. And that, to me, was more indicative of the true cause of tonight's problem, which was coaching. I mean, coaches do bear responsibility for getting your team ready to play. This team did not look ready to play, but the rotations tonight were a disaster. The Warriors won game two handily. And instead of following that recipe for success, Kerr decided to get cute. Or Kerr decided to get stubborn. I don't know how to label it exactly, but Draymond Green, by the way, just finished up his stat line for this horrible game he had. 1 for 4 from the field, 0 for 2 from three again. He had 4 rebounds total on a night where the Warriors were killed on the glass. And oh yeah, he fouled out. Now the foul out was kind of ridiculous on its own. I do think the officiating was atrocious in tonight's game. But again, when you lose by 16 points, even though the officials can swing at the momentum of a game, there's obviously bigger problems than just officials. But I mean, from an officiating perspective, I mean, look, 23 personal fouls were called in the Golden State Warriors tonight, just 17 on the Boston Celtics. In terms of trips to the line, the Warriors had 15 free throw attempts, 24 for the Boston Celtics. Now that's important. I saw a few times where Stephen Curry attacked the rim, got fouled, didn't see a whistle. I actually forgot on that four-point play, and maybe someone in the comment section can enlighten me. I actually forgot. And again, this is where, you know, I'm not this COVID thing is killing me, man. I'm not joking. It's messing me up bad. I cannot remember if I know the officials reviewed the Al Horford putting his foot under Stephen Curry. I can't remember if they called a flagrant on that. They should have. I'm looking at the comments right now, see if anyone adds anything to that real quick. I'm reading all this. Trey Underwood writes, I think Steve Curry taking Steph out at the end of the third was a mistake. He's been doing this where he instead of playing the hot hand, he disrupts it for some reason. Again, this was a bad Kerr game. I did take enough notes down to at least present a case for that. Steph was on fire, and he had a ridiculous third quarter, including that 4-point play, probably my favorite play in the NBA. And Steph does that routinely, which is insane. It took him out of rhythm for the rest of the game. You could see it in Steph's face on the bench. I think a part of the reason for that was Steph was in foul trouble most of the night, and that is a very subtle way an official can impact a game, is putting key players in foul trouble. And the really sad part is, in my opinion, is that most of those Steph fouls were fair calls. He was just hitting people in the arm. He was just reaching. I mean, but I can't remember again if he got the flagrant. There was a flagrant, according to RK. Thank you. But I think ultimately the plan, too, was I think Kerr wanted to play Steph all of the fourth. He wanted Steph to play 12 minutes in the fourth. And Andre writes, Andre FRBK writes, Steph shot one free throw from that flagrant. That was his lone free throw attempt. Yeah, he got hit a few times. There should have been fouls called in that. Look, Draymond Green had a bad game. I don't know how to explain that. He had a horrible game. I mean, he's one of the most important players on this team. And when he's scoring 2 points, in game three of the NBA Finals, when he's only grabbing four rebounds in a night where the team is getting killed on the glass, 47-31, including 15-6 on the offensive side of the ball. That's where I thought the Celtics really murdered the Warriors. They were getting a lot of second chance opportunities, and those create momentum while simultaneously killing the momentum of the other team, in this case being the Warriors. It was not a good look for Kerr. I mean, and I'll just real quick get into this. Actually, let me first give some love to Sakara, and then I'll explain to you why Kerr really messed up tonight, and then I'm going to address questions, bounce out, because this is just ugly. But I'll try to get into this as much as possible. Sakara, by the way, on a lighter note, helps you feel amazing. It's all about nutrition with them. Sakara helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for living in your best body. Now is the time to seek wellness, joy, and abundance in all areas of your life, starting with what you eat. With Sakara, you get nutrient-dense meals, snacks, and supplements that nourish your body without ever sacrificing taste or quality. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/lockedon20 or enter the code LOCKEDON20 at checkout. That's Sakara, S-A-K-A-R-A.com/lockedon20 to get 20% off your first order, sakara.com/lockedon20.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. I want to quickly add, the Ultimate NBA Mock Drafts show starts June 16th with over 50 insiders. Nothing equals the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, the Locked On NBA Big Board Draft Experts, plus the Odyssey Insiders. First pick is June 16th. Search Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and follow now so you don't miss a pick. I'm Cyrus Sotsis. You can follow me on Twitter at DocSurfRocho. And Mike writes, thanks for making me laugh. I think Draymond needs some of those Sakara meals. Again, I don't know how to explain Draymond playing the way he did tonight. It was an awful game. It was an awful game. Now I wrote a lot of notes because I think Kerr made a lot of mistakes tonight. And the reason why I think he made a lot of mistakes was because the success that the Warriors found in game two was very obvious. But for some reason, it wasn't replicated. For starters, like, Stephen Curry was killing the Celtics in game two with the pick and roll. Steve Kerr typically has an aversion to that. He prefers, you know, off the ball movement. He prefers the split action. He prefers constant movement until the right shooter is found and the right opportunity is found. And it works. I mean, look, there's no complaint against that, but the pick and roll, which is, you know, a very effective and efficient offensive play, was working in game two. And I don't know why they abandoned him. Now look, Steph still got his numbers tonight. Stephen Curry for the night in 37 minutes of play went 12 of 22 from the field, 6 for 11 from three, 31 points for the night, added 4 rebounds, only 2 assists, but that was a wasted effort. That really was. He had a great night. And what I don't understand as well is, why did Kerr mess with his rotations? I saw some of the messages in the chat. Like, why are you waiting until game three of the NBA Finals to experiment? That was a huge question mark for the coaching staff. Like, it happened in both. I believe Stephen Curry got pulled out at the end of the first quarter so that he could get more second quarter minutes. I know there was a foul situation there as well. But as someone mentioned earlier, he also got pulled out late in the third so that he could play more of the fourth. And he pulled him out while he had a hot hand. And I guess, look, my point is, like, I could see the logic behind what Kerr was doing, you know, letting Steph play more minutes in the second or fourth quarters. But why are you doing this now? Like, why are you pulling these experiments in game three of the NBA Finals when you didn't pull that stuff in game two and you were fine? You were fine. Like, why are you trying new tricks this late in the game? Especially when you had something effective rolling. So I wasn't stoked on Stephen Curry's rotation minutes being messed with, which is what they were. I was not happy with the team pulling back from the pick and roll. That could have gotten Draymond Green more involved in the game as well. And instead of getting Draymond rolling with that, because Dre loves the pick and roll also, if anyone's a perfect pick and roll partner for Stephen Curry, maybe beside Klay Thompson, I mean, that's just where those three are, just their experience really comes through and shines. Why are you not doing that to get Draymond Green more involved, more engaged, building his confidence defensively? Because he was having a horrible game. Now, another thing that I saw that was just disturbing was Klay Thompson, who offensively finally had a good night. And he did. I mean, the box score for Klay Thompson tonight, he played 39 minutes. Not the greatest field goal percentage. 7 for 17 from the field. 5 for 13 from three. Hit all 6 of his free throws. Finished with 25 points. But he was actually pulling higher rebounding numbers earlier in the series. Tonight, He had a total of 3 rebounds and added 3 assists to that. Only got called for 1 foul. I mean, the Warriors are in foul trouble all over the place, but not Klay. But my issue with Klay is, why was Klay routinely defending Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? They found something that worked in game 2 for him defensively. They were hiding him defensively on Al Horford. That was working. Why did you decide to go away from that? And I was really watching closely when I first saw this. I was like, what is going on here? Like, are they trying to create the switches, create the matchup so that Klay ended up on Tatum or Brown? But no, that was his assigned man. And I don't get why that happened. And that's where I think that is a huge failing on the coaching staff. Al Horford, by the way, he didn't have a monster game tonight, but he did damage. He had 11 points, 8 rebounds. He was one of the huge reasons why the rebounding battle was won by the Celtics tonight. But I don't understand why Klay Thompson was put in these defensive situations that in game 1 didn't work. And instead of like looking at game 2 and going, oh, wow, okay, so Klay Thompson defending Al Horford, defending Grant Williams, defending Robert Williams III, that's working. Wow, we found a recipe for success. Let's not do that again. But why? I was very confused. And so that was baffling to me. Incredibly baffling to me. Now, I'm going to get into like the biggest reason why I thought Kerr just completely, he had a horrible coaching night. And I'm going to get into that in just a second, because the Warriors failed to utilize their biggest strength. They have one incredible advantage over the Boston Celtics. It fits right in with the mantra they routinely market and say themselves. And for some reason, on a night when they should have used it, they chose not to. And what I'm referring to is their depth, strength, and numbers. The Warriors are a deep team, and they rely on that team, T-A-A-M, more than almost anyone else for their success. They don't have, like, any individuals who carry this team. I know Steph pulls, like, huge numbers. Klay can have huge nights. But this is still ultimately a team success. Like, all these championships, all these accolades are because of the involvement of so many individuals working collectively. And we did not see that tonight. The ball stagnated at times offensively, but defensively was where it really showed tonight. And when you look at those rebounding numbers and when you look at the defense failing, those could have been fixed. That ridiculous shooting from the Celtics in the first half could have been neutralized. The rebounding edge that they lost, that they got killed on tonight, could have been prevented. I mean, again, the Celtics beat them in terms of rebounding 47-31. Points in the paint, the Celtics doubled the Warriors 52-26. The Celtics had 52 points in the paint to just 26 for the Warriors. And that could have been prevented with their depth. And I'm going to tell you in a moment why they could have prevented that and why Kerr, for some reason, just went back to his stubborn game 1 ways instead of like the adjusted game 2 ways that worked. But first, I'd give some love to betonline.net. They're your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's basketball championship matchups, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing. The line for Game 4 is already out. Game 4 is going to be Friday night, 6 p.m. Pacific time again. I think that's going to benefit the Warriors, by the way. I'll tell you why in a second as well. The Celtics are favored by 4 in that game. Now, as weird as this might sound, I don't think that's a must-win for the Warriors. Damn close to a must-win. But I don't think it's a game that if the Warriors lose, like, it's over. Like, I'm actually, I don't feel that way. I don't. I think the Warriors can climb out of a 3-1 hole and beat the Celtics team. Do I want them to, do I want to find them in that situation? Hell no, I don't want that. But what I'm trying to say is it's not doom and gloom if the Warriors lose game four, but I mean, it is incredibly important, that's for sure. And so the Celtics are favored by four. The money line, minus 165 for the Celtics, plus 145 for the Warriors. The over-under is 215. And again, all that information available at betonline.net. They are your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, it is where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. I'm looking at the chat questions tonight. I'm trying to see if there's just anything in here that is enlightening. I'm going to touch on a lot of this stuff in just a moment if I haven't already. Trey Underwood writes, Looney should have got more minutes than Draymond tonight. Looney should have matched minutes with Robert Williams. That I agree with 100%. I don't know why that didn't happen. He's our best matchup for him, in all honesty. I'm looking at the box sheet right now because Robert Williams had his best game of the series. By far, he played 25 minutes tonight. He was 4 for 5 from the field. Most of those were easy baskets right at the rim. Again, he's not an outside shooter. He also grabbed 10 rebounds. His plus minus was 21 tonight, leading all players. And Looney, who has been matched up with most of the series, responded with 16 minutes. Why is Kerr giving Robert Williams 9 minutes on that floor with no one to match him up with? You're absolutely right. That was astounding. Like, Looney did not have a bad game. I thought Looney actually was okay out there. And for a team to get killed on the glass like that, and Looney is clearly your best rebounder, you're only going to give him 16 minutes? Good call, Trey Underwood. I totally agree with you on that. No, I'm not buying into this Han Solo Dolo, who writes, I want this to be done already. Just give the Celtics the trophy already. Hell no. If there's anything, look, here was my initial feeling when the first half ended. I was looking at the score. I think the Warriors are down 12. And all I was thinking was, the Warriors are down 12 despite the Celtics shoot. I think they shot like 73% from the field in the first half. Again, I'll have all this data for tomorrow's show. Brian Witt is going to join me. He's incredible in terms of his Warriors knowledge. I'm sorry. The Celtics shot 57% in the first half. They were 8 for 18 from 3. But still, that is lights-out shooting. And the Warriors, despite that, were only down 12. Like, the Celtics were giving the Warriors their all. That was their A-grade stuff right there. And the Warriors were only down 12 despite responding with a meh performance. I'm not worried at all. Like I do not believe for a second after tonight's game that the Warriors are the inferior team. They're the superior team. They got outcoached tonight. They got outcoached because MA rallied his troops way better than Kerr did. The Warriors came out flat. And I'm sorry, but coaching plays a part in that. But I think more importantly, the minute distribution was awful. I talked about Stephen Curry's rotations and the fact that for some reason Kerr decided to suddenly mess with them this late in the season. In game 3 of the NBA Finals, Steve Kerr decides, I'm going to pull Stephen Curry out of the third quarter, even though he clearly, by every measurable imaginable, wildly succeeds when he plays the entirety of the third quarter, and then he plays whatever minutes he plays in the fourth. Typically, it's 6 minutes. In the playoffs, it increases to 9. But tonight, Steve Kerr decides, while Stephen Curry's having a lights-out third quarter, to pull him. I did not understand that. But adding to that, is, as Trey Underwood mentioned a moment ago, I hope I got that correct, Kevon Looney played 16 minutes in a game where the Warriors were killed on the glass 47-31. Robert Williams III had a monster game tonight, and he played he played 26 minutes. Robert Williams III basically played 10 minutes out there without Kevon Looney to match him. Why? Why? And then on top of that, again, the Warriors' biggest strength is their depth. Strength in numbers. What reassured me incredibly in game two, I kid you not, when the Warriors succeed, this COVID thing I'm fighting right now, I feel better when they won. I kid you not. Game two actually uplifted me. Game three is not helping me. I'm suffering, man. Look, I don't know why Gary Payton II, who does nothing but great things for this Warriors team, I feel like I am a broken record saying this because during the regular season, anyone who watches or listens to Locked On Warriors has heard me say time and time and time and again, play Gary Payton II. Play the man. And tonight, he played 11 minutes. 11 minutes. That is ridiculous. Bjelica played 11 minutes in game two, and I was crying that was not enough for Nemanja Bjelica. Oh, by the way, Bjelica, another player that is a perfect matchup for the Celtics team because no one on the Celtics is fast enough to burn him, and he spaces the floor offensively. I know he had one shot blocked tonight by Robert Williams III. And again, that's where Looney could have been helpful. Instead, Steve Kerr decided, let's put Bjelica up against Robert Williams III, which is a weird situation. And besides the point, Nemanja Bjelica played 3 minutes tonight. Three. And there were meaningless minutes in the second quarter. Just gave up on him. We did not see him at all in the second half. I didn't watch the last minute or two, so if you played garbage time, forgive me. I missed that part of it. Andre Iguodala. I had no idea he was available until we saw him all of a sudden. I believe it was at the end of the first half he made an appearance. And I don't know if you folks remember this, but Marcus Smart was having his way getting to the basket. And toward the end of the first half, I believe, Steve Kerr brought Iguodala in to make sure the Celtics would not score again to end the half. And Iguodala played great defense. He actually prevented Marcus Smart. He finally stopped that hot streak cold. Iguodala could have provided rebounding, could have provided defense on Jaylen Brown and or Jason Tatum. There was a reason why in game one, Jason Tatum scored 12 points. It was because of Andre Iguodala. So the one thing that worked in game one, that's what you decide not to replicate in game three. Iguodala tonight played 2 minutes. Jordan Poole had a lousy game. And this is where, again, I said this after game one. If Jordan Poole is a player who you've gotten this far because of him, but he's also incredibly young. You're not going to, and you can't just put all your chips in and ride him with Jordan Poole, a kid who's like, what, 22, 23? Who has no previous playoff experience? And for some reason, Kerr still ended up playing him tonight 25 minutes, 24 and a half minutes. And he was okay offensively. He had 10 points. Okay, I guess. 1-for-4 from three. Not good. He actually missed a free throw. Mike Breen totally jinxed him on that, by the way. Totally jinxed him on that. Whatever. But Jordan Poole defensively was lousy. And those are minutes that could have and should have gone to Gary Payton II, could have and should have gone to Andre Iguodala, could have and should have gone to Nemanja Bjelica. Because the problem tonight ultimately was not the Warriors' offense, it was their defense. 116 points is way too much to give up to the Boston Celtics. The Celtics scored 68 points at the half. That is ridiculous. The Warriors had 56 first half points. That's fine. The only reason why the Warriors offense is going to look bad on the stat sheet is because it shows 100 points because they had 11 fourth quarter points. but the game was over by then. I mean, their defense is what failed them. Rebounding is synonymous with defense. And Nemanja Bjelica could have helped with rebounding. Andre Iguodala could have helped with rebounding. Kevon Looney could have helped with rebounding. But for some reason, the minutes were not given to him. Andrew Wiggins, by the way, did not have a great game, especially from a from an offensive perspective. He went 1-for-6 from three, finished with 18 points. But defensively, he was just okay. And that's where on tomorrow's show, I'm gonna break down his defense on Tatum and Jaylen Brown, especially because Tatum and Brown, and Jaylen Brown particularly, had a big game. I mean, I think that the Celtics rode him to this victory tonight. He played 39 minutes, 27 points. He also had 9 rebounds, go with 5 assists. And the Warriors just did not have an answer for him. Draymond Green was playing him. Draymond Green, again, he had a horrible game. That I don't know what to tell you about. You do live or die with Draymond Green. That's how it rolls. But Draymond had a lousy game. But you could have overcome that with your bench. You could have overcome that. So Draymond played 34 minutes tonight out of a 48-minute game. You could have the other 14 minutes given those 14 minutes to Andre Iguodala. You could have given Kevon Looney more than 16 minutes tonight. Gary Payne II should have played more than 11 minutes tonight. For some reason, I just don't know why Kerr routinely, he's done this all year, does not play these bench guys that are vitally important for this team. That is the one fundamental edge the Warriors have over the Boston Celtics, depth. And in game two, they utilized it. They had an outstanding 9-man bench that made me feel comfortable. And in game three, that same bench was utilized for 11 minutes with Gary Payne II, 2 minutes for Andre Iguodala, 3 minutes for Nemanja Bjelica, all in the second quarter, or maybe the end of the first as well, but they're all first half minutes. And I just don't get why. I don't get the why of it. Let's see what's going on in the chat here real quick. Richard Wilkinson writes, at the start of the fourth quarter, Curry missed the three, turned it over 3 times, followed shortly by a Wiggins turnover. So yes, bad offense influences defense. You can't stop runs out of turnovers. Let me add to that real quick. Curry should not have been playing the start of the fourth quarter either. I don't know why Kerr messed the rotation to begin with. But yeah, if your point is, if you're going to start blaming Stephen Curry for tonight's loss, well, I'm not going to agree with you there. I mean, yeah, that was a bad sequence, clearly, but I think Stephen Curry's positives far outweigh those particular negatives you pointed out. Lavish Bear 4 writes, I hate Draymond. I'm sorry. I don't hate him. The entire dynasty is based largely on him. He had a bad game tonight. The great news is Draymond Green is not going to play like that in game 4. This game really did make me feel comfortable about game 4. I cannot tell you this enough. Like, I think the Warriors are the superior team to the Celtics. The Warriors could have and should have won this game tonight. They didn't go to their strengths. They didn't go to their strength. Their strength is depth. Their strength is a bench that can come out there and make up for whatever holes that starting five is producing. And they didn't go to it. Carla Davis writes, honestly, the Celtics are bigger, stronger, and younger. This is a problem that I'm not sure we can solve. I just don't agree with you because Robert Williams is their big guy. He's 6'8". And Kevon Looney has handled him fine this series. Kevon Looney was out there for 16 minutes. Robert Williams III was out there for 26 minutes. You need to match them up. Nemanja Bjelica is 6'9", 240. He's a big. He could have helped with the inside situation. They played him 3 minutes. As weird as it sounds, Gary Payton II, despite being 6'3", he plays like a big and he's a menace defensively. He played a whopping 11 minutes. And he gives fits to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And for some reason, Kerr just has no patience with him. Like, Gary Payton II was not playing great by any means. But then again, who was outside of Stephen Curry? And Kerr just decided to give up on him. And I don't know why that is. I just do not know why that is. Yes, Han Solo Dolo, you are correct. ESPN is going to have a field day with the Warriors tomorrow. You're absolutely right. Now, one of the positives with the fact that Game 4 is Friday, it's a really quick turnaround, is Carl, you just wrote that the Celtics are, let me read this again. You wrote they're bigger, stronger, and younger. Robert Williams III is not going to appreciate a quick turnaround. Al Horford at 36 is not going to appreciate a quick turnaround. Marcus Smart playing on that bum ankle is not going to appreciate a quick turnaround. I don't know what Stephen Curry's injury status is. I'm going to have faith that he will be okay for game four. He's been dealing with nagging injuries to his ankles before. Let's just hope that he can power through that. But I do think that the short turnaround from game four is going to be advantageous for the Warriors. And I do think the Warriors will win game four. I do. I really do think so. You're absolutely right, Nikki B, who writes, I also think the refs called a horrible first half. Absolutely. And it's not just the first half. The play that Draymond Green fouled out on was like a scrum in the fourth quarter. I don't know if you folks remember that. That should have been a jump ball called immediately. They just let them just wrestle on the ground endlessly. And then after 10 seconds of who knows what was going on down there, the same play that Stephen Curry got injured on, suddenly Draymond Green is called for a sixth foul and he's out of the game. No, you're right. The refs were atrocious. And the measurables do confirm that. The Warriors, outside of, I believe, two games of this postseason, have been called for more personal fouls in every game. And that's not different tonight. They were called for 23 personal fouls versus 17 for the Celtics. And that played in Kerr's mind a little bit too, because Stephen Curry was in foul trouble. And in terms of free throw attempts, the Celtics had 9 more. Yeah, the officiating was atrocious. And Mike writes, Ryan over on the Krug Show is ready to concede the series to the Celtics. I'm going to jump over there in a second. He annoys me sometimes, man. He doesn't know basketball. I'm sorry. Like, his entire basketball knowledge is based on reading or listening to Bill Simmons and people at the Ringer. And if that's your entire basis for basketball knowledge, you're just not going to be that astute. Let me see anything else going on in the chat. Thomas Hardy writes, do you think the Celtics' size is a problem for the Warriors? What happens if the Warriors have a poor shooting game? Again, Nemanja Bjelica was brought in to help with that. He played 3 minutes. Kevon Looney has been an outstanding rebounder for the Golden State Warriors this postseason. Tonight he played 16 minutes. Well below his average for the whole postseason. And especially this series. I don't know why he only played 16 minutes. That was weird. Andre Iguodala, who can't play like a big. I mean, he's like 6'7", 6'8". Played all 3 minutes. Otto Porter Jr. had a great game, by the way. I do want to give him kudos. He was very solid. I'm trying to see if there's anything else here in the chat that I should touch on before we call it a wrap. Again, Jordan Poole is a player that I do think if defensively he's not showing up and offensively if he's not effective, he was not very effective tonight. You got to take those minutes away. You have to. I mean, the bottom line tonight was minute distribution was awful. The Warriors were leading that game late in the third quarter. Folks, if the Celtics are such an amazing team, and if you think they're better than the Warriors, they would not let the Warriors come back in that game. The Warriors had that game. They were ready to pull away, but for some reason, Steph takes Stephen Curry out of the game. For some reason, Steve Kerr doesn't play Gary Payton II. For some reason, he doesn't play Andre Iguodala. He doesn't play Nemanja Bjelica. He lets Robert Williams III just have his lunch in the paint all day instead of putting Kevon Looney out there to match up with him. The only player that truly laid an egg that there's no excuse for is Draymond Green. And I promise you, he is going to have a rebound, a comeback game in game four. He's not going to play like that. The Warriors are a very intelligent team. That much I can tell you. They study film extensively. And they're going to look at this game and realize, wow, we screwed up with the minutes we gave people. Draymond is going to realize, wow, we should have run the pick and roll much more frequently in offense with me and Steph because that worked in game two. Why didn't we do that in game three? They're going to fix the holes. But what bums me out is that they found a recipe for success in game two. And instead of using it again and forcing the Celtics to beat that, they went back to some of their game one stuff. They decided to try new things in game three. I don't get it. Lavish Bear the Four writes, we stay playing with our food. We should be up 2-1. The Warriors should be up 2-1. You're not going to sit Draymond Green. For anyone suggesting that, that's a fantasy land you're going into. You know, like, you can have fun on your own cloud up there floating around. That's not reality. Like, Draymond Green is not going to be benched. The Warriors ride and die with Draymond Green. Okay, he had a bad game. He had a bad game. And that part of it, again, the coaching staff has to take responsibility for not having this team ready for the Celtics tonight, because they didn't look ready. They did not look ready. Lavish Bear, who I keep giving you love for tonight, writes, you got to admit, if we don't perform in game four, it's over. I will not admit that. You're forgetting already the 3-1 comeback against the Thunder. The Warriors have lost game ones three times during this dynasty era. They lost game one to the Thunder, same series where game six Klay emerged. They lost game one to the Raptors, a series where injuries doomed them. And then now we're in this situation. I'm not going to write a team off, this team off, even if they're down 3-1. I'm not, especially given they have home court advantage. Now, it's not a comfortable position to be in, and I don't think they're going to find themselves in that position. But no, I'm not ready to write them off if they lose game four. I don't think they're going to lose game four. Let's see if I got through all my notes before we call it a wrap here. I think I covered everything. This is just the bottom line was this, and this is just my humble opinion based on everything I've talked about tonight. If the Warriors go to their bench, if the Warriors give Gary Payne II 25 minutes, if the Warriors give Nemanja Bjelica 10 to 15 minutes, if the Warriors give Andre Iguodala all the minutes that Draymond Green does not get, they win. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And how you distribute those minutes, that is where Kerr needs to step up and be astute and actually use some common sense, which I did not see tonight at all. I didn't see it. I'm going to be very curious to read those post-game attributions from Kerr, because I hope someone asks him, why did you only play Gary Payton II 11 minutes? Why did you only play Kevon Looney 16 minutes? Why did you play Nemanja Bjelica only 3 minutes? Why did you only play Andre Iguodala only 2 minutes? It's frustrating, folks. It is frustrating, folks. Ricardo Davidson writes, Steph did the post-game interview. Well, a few people will. Kerr, the head coaches always do the interviews, and they usually pick two or three players on top of that. So it's going to be Steph. It'll probably be Klay. Trae Young, do not have a bad feeling about game four. I'm actually very confident that the Warriors are going to win game four. Very confident. I still maintain that the Warriors are the better team. They got just out-coached and out-hustled tonight. I mean, Marcus Smart had a great game. He had a great game. The Warriors just simply did not address that. They were just letting him drive through the lane over and over and over again. They finally brought out this lineup at the end of the second quarter that was a defensive heavy lineup with Iguodala in there. I think Gary Payton II was in there. They finally put a stop to that, and they just went away from it. Andrew Wiggins has to have a better game. I don't think his defense was good enough to make up for his shortcomings offensively. You can't shoot 1-for-6 from three. That's horrible. That's really bad. But I still maintain confidently that the Warriors are the better team. But this Celtics team is very good. They're damn good. And you got to bring your A game every night. The Warriors just did not bring their A game. Yeah, I agree. And I've touched on this earlier in the show. King David, They should have kept Stephen Curry in the third. He should have played the whole third quarter. I do not know why Stephen Curry was pulled. I know why. He got pulled so he could play more minutes in the fourth. But why are you pulling these shenanigans in game three of the NBA Finals? That is an experiment. The tried and true formula is play Steph all of the third. And then if you have to give him extra minutes in the fourth, so be it. We're in the NBA Finals. You know, I did not get that. And he was on a heater in the third. I don't know why he got pulled. NRG Manifest writes, we were in control of a large chunk of games one and two and took a lead late in all three games. I'm not worried. No dubs in five anymore, but the series is definitely winnable. There you go. Thank you. I agree with that. Trey Young writes, no one wants to hear this, but the Celtics are the better team. I don't agree with that. The team there is more set. Tatum is the number one scoring option. Jaylen Brown is the number two scoring. That doesn't even make sense. Okay, Trey, you're done for the night. Daniel writes, you think it's better for the Dubs to take game four in Boston rather than game three? I don't think it matters. You continue on. I felt like in Boston it'd be 1-1 and game four is a better win for the Warriors. Not worried at all. Yeah, Daniel, I'm with you. I'm not. That's my point. I'm not worried. Okay, I didn't come out of this game thinking like, oh no, like the Warriors have met their match. Like, no, I'm not feeling that way. I'm sorry. JFR writes, is Steph injured? Don't know that yet. Recording tomorrow with Brian Witt. A full-on episode where we'll have a lot more information about Stephen Curry. Brooklyn 1183 writes, put Kuminga in. I wouldn't be opposed to that when Jordan Poole is playing like he did tonight. Clearly there is game one Poole and game two Poole. And my point, and if I'm not clear enough, I'll say it again. If game one Poole is showing up, pull him out of the game immediately. All right? And if game two Poole shows up, play him. And if game one Poole shows up, yeah, try out Kuminga. I'd actually prefer Moses Moody over Kuminga because Moody has really shown that he's comfortable in big game situations like the Western Conference Finals. Rain King GW writes, Bielitsa would have been banging his love handles, Oliver Williams. And in all honesty, Bielitsa actually matches up well, more so with Horford. He matches up well with Grant Williams. He matches up. I mean, he was even defending Tatum decently in game two. Just give him a shot. Players sometimes need time to develop rhythm. Ricardo Davidson writes, Steph says it's not as bad as last time. Yeah, I'm not overly worried about him. Dre D writes, Kerr's coaching sucked in this game. Yeah, I agree. That's been the point of my show tonight. And ultimately, yeah, you're right. Gina loves Cali. You're right. The Warriors would have won tonight if their shots just went in. But it's amazing how they caught up. They were like almost 15 points behind. More specifically, Gina, they were 18 points behind. The Celtics had an 18-point lead on the Golden State Warriors in the first half. And the Warriors took the lead 83-82. And it would have continued on if Steve Kerr would have realized that, oh, yeah, we need to focus on defense here. We need stops. We need to prevent the Celtics from having second chance opportunities, which are momentum killers. The Boston Celtics tonight had 15 offensive rebounds. 15. That means there were 15 times where the Celtics put up a shot, they missed. And instead of the Warriors running it back, the Warriors have to watch the Celtics get it and then run a whole new play and exhaust themselves. And then who knows what happened that second time. Offensive rebounds are killers. And the Grizzlies are a better offensive rebounding team than the Celtics ever will be. And the Warriors figured that out. And why they let the Celtics run amok with offensive rebounds tonight is beyond me when you have players like a Kevon Looney. Draymond Green, again, he just laid an egg. But with Draymond, you live and you die with him. That's the bottom line. But you can still live and die with him and adjust around him. You can also set him up for success. that's where, again, I don't understand why the pick and roll, which worked in game two, wasn't implemented nearly as much in game three. It's such a simple, effective play. And when Steph and Dre run it together, Dre thrives in it. Why not continue that? YK Avenue riots, you won't admit it's over until the Celtics are holding up the trophy, huh? Well, I mean, look, the Warriors, when healthy, when the core of the Warriors team is healthy, they've never lost in the postseason during this dynasty era. I mean, in 2016, you had the NBA literally taking Draymond Green out of a game. You had Stephen Curry and Andre Iguodala injured and playing on injured legs. You had Andrew Bogut, a vitally important player, a starting center for that team, out for game 6 and 7. And that's what it took for the Cavaliers to come back and beat him 3-1. 2019, the only other loss. I mean, do I need to bring that up again? You know, Kevin Durant, his injury, Klay Thompson, his injury. I mean, so those are the only two series the Warriors have ever lost in the postseason. So, yes, until the Celtics are holding up that trophy, I'm going to give the Golden State Warriors the benefit of the doubt. I am. They've shown the resiliency. They've shown the grit, the toughness, however you want to define that, for me to give them the benefit of the doubt over their opposition. So, yeah, when the Celtics beat them, I mean, look, if it was a 3-0 series, I think I'd also concede then. But if the Celtics had home court and they were up 3-1, I would sing a different tune. I promise you that. But the fact that the Warriors have home court, it is not an improbability to think that the Warriors down 3-1 can win this series, given they'd only have to win one in the Garden. So I do think it's still very possible, even if they're down 3-1, to come back and win this series. Will it be difficult? Yes. Do I want that? No. But no, I'm not going to rule this Warriors team out. They've shown too much over a very long time period for me to believe that they are a insanely great team. And again, Ricardo Davidson, who says that's crazy talk, I hope what I just explained tells you why it's not crazy talk. They've done it before. To that Oklahoma City Thunder team in 2016, I think you could make a very strong argument they were better than the Celtics team. And they came back with them in a similar situation where they had home court advantage, where they lost game one of that series as well. So I don't think it's crazy talk. I mean, the probabilities are in the Celtics' favor, obviously, but I don't think it's crazy talk. But and this is, yeah, Vicky Pellich, you're right, the Warriors are too complacent. They should be up 3-0. I agree. I also agree with Rain King GW, who says GP2 needs to follow Jaylen Brown all game. Agree. You have this, the Warriors have this player in Gary Payne II, who is as close to a lockdown defender as you can possibly find in the NBA. The man gives MVPs nightmares. And Steve Kerr decides, yeah, I'm going to play him 11 minutes tonight in game three of the NBA Finals, right after he had a wildly successful game two. I'm just going to play him 11 minutes just because that's how I feel. Like, that, there's no logic for that. There's no logic for that whatsoever. There's no logic for that whatsoever. Paul James writes, the NBA is a wing-dominant league. The Celtics got the two best wings. Well, you could say Klay Thompson's a wing. And he played pretty good in game tonight. He played good tonight. Klay Thompson does have to play better. Andrew Wiggins has to play better. Otto Porter Jr. is a wing. I think he's outstanding. Andre Iguodala is a wing. I think if we see more than 2 minutes from him, he's a huge reason, and the analytics support this, why Jason Tatum only scored 12 points in game one. And Steve Kerr's response to that, apparently Iguodala was healthy enough to play, is, yeah, we'll play for 2 minutes. And by the way, those 2 minutes were effective. So I don't buy that. The Warriors' depth should be able to handle that. I can't even pronounce your account name, but someone writes, shut it, Celtics and six. We shall see. So I'm guessing Celtics fans are coming in now. All right. That is the sign that this should be over. This show is done. Ricardo Davidson writes again, Klay was a better player back then, Cyrus. He wasn't coming off two injuries. True, but are we forgetting Game 6 Klay against Memphis? Are we forgetting Game 6 Klay and Game 5 against Dallas? I'm not going to lose faith in Klay, man, until it's over. I'm not. And then Dre D writes, I hope Steph's foot is okay. I hope so, too, from what other people wrote in this comment section. He apparently is. I'm going to go join Larry Cooker for 3 minutes, where I'm guessing some other defeatists are going to be in there. Again, it's just one game. It's a seven-game series. The Warriors are down 2-1. People are acting like it's over. It's far from over. The Warriors were leading late in the third quarter. It's just Steve Kerr just needs to understand that he has players on this team that match up tremendously well with the Celtics, and he needs to give them minutes. Trey Underwood writes, Steve Kerr seeing GP2 got beat a few times in the first half and pulled him faster than I've ever seen him pull Jordan Poole for his horrendous defense. Agreed. 100% agree. Yeah, Gary Payton II, it wasn't like the greatest first half, but you can't just give up on him that fast either. I'm sorry. So, anyways, I'm going to go join Larry Kruger at the Krug Show. Tomorrow, Brian Witness will join me. Brian Witt, I'm sorry. You can follow him on Twitter at Witnessed with an extra T in there. But Dub Nation, look, if you're a member of Dub Nation, do not lose hope. It's just one game again. I predicted from the start of this, if the Warriors are not healthy, it's going to be Warriors in seven. It is tracking in that direction. I'm very confident the Warriors will win game four. I will say that. This is a very smart organization. This is a team, an organization that adjusts accordingly. Although they did not tonight. I don't know why, but I really think they're going to come out in game four. I think the short rest between the two games is going to benefit the Warriors, given that Robert Williams III had his best game of the series by far. Al Horford at 36 has openly admitted he can't handle these quick turnarounds. Marcus Smart, I don't think he's going to come back and put up another night like that, where Marcus Smart was incredible tonight, but his 24 points included 8 of 17 shooting from the field. He added 7 rebounds. I do not see him playing like that again. Grant Williams was putting up points. Grant Williams was in double digits. That's not the norm. Relax, people. All right. The series is not over. I'm very confident in that. But this was just a dumb loss. And I really hope the coaching staff understands that the biggest strength of this Warriors team is their depth. And they just did not utilize that tonight. So we shall see. All right. I'll be back tomorrow. Follow me on Twitter at DogSurfRoadShow. Follow this show on Twitter at LockedOnDubs. Thank you so much for participating. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, I'm sorry for not having my A game tonight. I am not feeling great. This thing is kicking my butt. This stat I like. Dre D writes, Celtics now 15-0 under Scott Foster. If that's true, I don't think we're going to see Scott Foster again this series. I hope not. Jesus, that was crazy. This was a very poorly officiated game. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Seriously. From the bottom of my heart. And just really, like, look, I love the Warriors. I don't think they're going to lose game four. I'm very confident they're going to come back and take care of business. And then we'll have the best of three with the Warriors having home court. So stay tuned. Thank you again. Have a great night, everyone. Thanks. Later.